Please open your Bibles with me this morning to the 6th chapter of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 6. I hope that one of your New Year's resolutions will be to read the book of Isaiah. It's one of my favorites. That's a book that's quoted consistently in the New Testament. People of the New Testament era were familiar with it. I love that invitation that's found over in the first chapter, verse 18, where the Lord says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then we're just past Christmas. What would Christmas be without Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7? "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then he tells us, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," and all of that. And then while you're reading, you can hardly wait until you come to that beautiful 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the one that tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And it tells us there about the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. But then this 6th chapter of Isaiah is also one of the great ones that I love to read. It tells us basically three things of our 3 points of our message this morning. Is first, I saw the Lord, and second, I heard him speak to me, and third, I responded to his command. And that's the 3 points of my sermon this morning. But I want you to read with me here in Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne." I like that. Doesn't that open one for... That was 732 B.C., 732 years before Christ. King Uzziah died. Isaiah is mourning the death of the king of Israel. The throne of Israel is empty. Uzziah, the king, has died. But he saw the Lord. And he saw another throne. And the Lord was sitting on his throne, wasn't he? Seated above his throne. The throne of earth may be empty, but the throne of heaven is filled with the King of kings and the Lord of lords who will never die. Ooh, that's just in the first verse here. Anyway, let's go ahead and read. "High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. Boy, wouldn't you like to have 6 wings? I wonder what they look like. But here's what they're doing with their wings. With twain means two. With two, he's covering his face. He's in the presence of God. God is holy. And he doesn't even look upon God. But you know, when you cover your face, you hide your eyes, and you can't see where you're going. That silly thought came to my mind too. What does he do with the other? He's got 6 now. He's got 2 more. He covers his feet. So he's got his face covered with 2 of his wings, and he's got his feet covered with 2 of his wings, And now he's only flying on two cylinders. I mean, two wings. And with Twain, he did fly. You know, I guess if he wanted to get into high gear, he could use all six of those things. And boy, he could really dart out here, couldn't he? Using six of those. A lot of people think, when we get to heaven, we're going to have wings. I don't find any basis for that in the scriptures, really. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to have wings. That's my opinion. But the seraphim, he's got six of them there. Beautiful. And he describes them for us. And one cried unto another. They're talking to one another. Here's what he said. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Open your eyes and see the glory of the Lord. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house, that's the temple, that's where the Lord's appearing here. The temple was filled with smoke. Then said I, this Isaiah talking, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. That's what he saw. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. We'll get to the rest of that in a little while, but I want you to notice this. I saw the Lord. Isaiah saw the Lord. There will come a time when you and I will be able to see him. Moses stood yonder on top of Mount Sinai and said, God, I want to see you. He'd been there with the Lord for 40 days, and God had hidden himself cloaked in darkness. Lord, I want to see your face. He said, Moses, I'm sorry, but you can't do it. No man has seen God at any time, and you're not going to be the first. But he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by. And he did. And Moses saw the glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord so impressed itself upon his face that when he came down from the mountain, he had to wear a veil over his face. People couldn't look at him. His face was shining with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the glory of the Lord. I think of the time when, I think it was Philip that said to him, show us the Father. Show us the Father. Jesus said, Philip, have you been with me so long you don't know this? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Isaiah saw the Lord. I read in Acts chapter 9 that Paul saw the Lord one day. Jesus stepped out of heaven and revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. And he saw his glory likewise. And God called him into a life of service. There's a lot of similarities, by the way, between Isaiah's vision of the Lord and Paul's vision of the resurrected, risen, glorified Christ. Oh, John saw the Lord too. Revelation chapter 1. He's over on the Isle of Patmos. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he saw the Lord, heard a voice behind him, turned around and looked, and there he was in all of his glory. They saw the Lord. Well, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw this revelation of God in all of his heavenly splendor and glory. Very impressive. Isaiah saw the power of God. He saw the glory of God. He saw the might of God. He saw the sovereign majesty of God. And he was most impressed with the holiness of God. He was the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw the Lord. And then you'll notice that Isaiah saw himself. He saw himself. Woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. But this vision of God changed his life. He was never the same after that. This vision of God directed and focused his ministry. It gave meaning to his existence. He saw himself. But when he saw himself, he didn't really like what he saw. In the light of God's holiness, in the light of God's purity and perfection, he was made aware of his own unholiness and his imperfections. Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw himself, and then he saw his people. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. They were his people. They were his congregation, so to speak. Suddenly, they took on a new perspective. He saw them as unclean as himself. He saw these people without understanding. Their ears were heavy that they could not hear. Their eyes were blinded that they could not see. So they too needed that divine cleansing that comes from the Lord. They needed the touch of God upon their lives as well as he. I can recall as a young Christian, this was back before June of 1950. My view of the world was like looking through the large end of a funnel. That limited radius of my vision was composed of my future, my career, my desires, my perspective. In fact, it was very restrictive, very limited, and in reality, very selfish. But on the 19th of June, 1950, God stepped in and changed my life. Changed it completely. He caused me to realize that God is not just an American God with a southern accent, likes fried chicken, mashed potatoes, okra, turnip greens, cornbread, good stuff like that, you know. So some of my pride and prejudice began to fade away after the 19th of June. I began to see the world a little differently. And not to change the subject, but I'm proud of our missionary program that we have as a church. We have the opportunity to know and to be personally acquainted with many of our 36 missionary families. We can see them as real people. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't have that opportunity. Our church was a missionary church. We gave to missions, don't misunderstand me. But it was not until 1948 that I became acquainted with a real, live missionary. A fellow by the name of Jack Looney and his wife, Joyce. Joyce was our pastor's wife's sister. And And they'd been serving the Lord down in the country of Brazil, Brother Sam, down there where you and Betsy were. And they were the first missionaries, live missionaries, that I ever saw. And after hearing them talk about their work, I felt like I needed to break loose from that tight little perspective that I had of my world. But I warn you, a decision like Isaiah's is far too significant to be based on emotion alone. There's a lot of reality here. He saw, and what he saw and what he witnessed changed his life. Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw himself. He saw his people. And then Isaiah heard. He heard the voice of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were conferring with one another. And their words were not directed to Isaiah. He was just out here eavesdropping, listening to what they were saying. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? They were talking to each other. Like back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Do you ever think about that? Before man was ever here, no ears to hear what God was saying, he said, let us make man in our own image. And that's when he took the dust of the ground and formed Adam. He wasn't talking to Isaiah here yet, but Isaiah overheard what the Lord was saying. And this question that God asked shows his love and his concern over the spiritual condition of his people. It shows God's desire. It shows his heart's longing to have them in full fellowship with him. That isn't specifically mentioned here in our text, but I believe that Isaiah heard, as God apparently had, the heart's cry of his people. He knew their insecurities, their frustrations, their doubts, and their longings. And I would challenge you this morning to put your ear down to the burdened heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. And then look at God in the face, whose mercy you've professed to have received and whose word you've promised to obey, and tell him that you're not called to work in his vineyard. Who needs a call when you have a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Who needs a voice when you have a verse? If you want a call, you give me your telephone number, I'll give you a call. I heard, who? Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then, verse 8, then said I, here am I, send me. He was willing, and he was available. Here's what God said. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now that's pretty plain talk. God certainly isn't beating around the bush here, is he? It isn't very motivational. Maybe you've heard of the young man that wanted to be a vacuum cleaner salesman. He got a job going door to door selling vacuum cleaners. And the first day he came back into the office and he hadn't made a single sale. He was so discouraged, so despondent, he was just about ready to quit. And his manager said to him, he says, look, he said, I know it's hard, but you'll get the hang of it. Just stay in there. And he says, in fact, when you get home, you practice your sales technique at home. So he did. And he came back the next morning, and he was just really down in the dumps. His manager said to him, look, he said, just give it one more time. He said, sir, it isn't that. I went home, like you said, and I practiced my sales pitch on my wife. And now I've got to come up with enough money to buy her a new vacuum cleaner. Listen, God said to Isaiah, he said, Isaiah, when you go out from door to door witnessing for Christ, he said, it's not going to be very rewarding for you. He said, the response of the people will not be something to write home about. No wonder Isaiah says to the Lord, how long? How long? You know what God's answer was? He said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant. Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant. That's how long we're going to preach. When we think on this scripture and this message, I pray that God will do five things in our hearts. I'll give you these. We need to pray that he'll use the circumstances in our lives. You know, he's a God of circumstance. He brings things to pass. He causes things to happen in our lives. And we need to be made aware of his presence. Now listen, I can't promise you that you're going to see him like Isaiah saw him, or like Paul saw him, or like John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. But may God open our eyes of faith that we may behold his ever presence with us in the everyday events of our lives. And secondly, that God will reveal his character to us and make us see our own personal need. The vision of God's might will make us see our helplessness. The vision of God's power will make us see our weaknesses. And the vision of God's holiness will cause us to see our unholiness. And may that revelation have the same effect upon us as it did upon Isaiah. Oh, that the seraphim of God would come with that coal from off the altar and touch our lips and take away our iniquities and all of our sins. Then may God give us the hope that we will know that we are and can be useful in his service. Our heart's cry for this year should be, use me, O Lord. Help us to realize that God's work today is being carried on by human instrumentality. He doesn't send angels to do what you and I can do. He wants us to do it. He wants to use men and women and boys and girls to witness for him and to win souls and to carry his word to the ends of the earth. And may God today expand our vision and make us evaluate our availability to him. Here am I. Send me. And then we need to pray that God would cause us to focus on reality. Let's not live in a dream world, because heaven is real. And hell is real. And death is real. And eternity is certain. And people without Christ are lost. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from sin. And Jesus is still the door. He said, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He's the only way to the Father. So I challenge you today, will you pray and ask God to make you useful in his service this year? Will you pledge yourself to be more dedicated to him? And ask him exactly what you as an individual can do for him. Are you willing to say today to the Lord, "Here am I. Send me." If you are, then tell him so. Make yourself available to him. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, through the eyes of Isaiah this morning, we have seen the Lord. We thank you for this description that he gives of you. And we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. Your purpose for coming into this world has not changed. You still want to see men and women, boys and girls, brought to Christ. Brought to faith in him. You still want to use us as your human instruments to accomplish your purpose on this earth. So help us today, Lord, to dedicate our hearts, our very lives to you, to be used in your service for your name's honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
497.
Number 497. Today, perhaps in this message, you have heard through the Word of God his call, and he's used this message to speak to your heart as an individual. Will you respond to him today and say, "Here am I. Send me."
Just
Sunday of a new year, pledge and dedicate yourself to God today to do his will through this year.